Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 15th. In the year of our Lord, 2021, this is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the peaceful, restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap's in order for yesterday's broadcast. We talked about a new international review of COVID cases reaches a clear recommendation. Hold off on booster shots for the general population. That's right. The new papers in the Lancet Medical Journal, of all places, and it's authored by researchers around the world, including the two FDA officials who are now resigning. Wow. They found no evidence that boosters are necessary in fighting illness for most people. Well, that goes against the Biden administration's agenda, and Anthony Fauci, who wants to vaccinate, mandate, whatever, everybody everywhere. There's also a stunning UK reversal you ought to be aware of. They're going to scrap vaccine passports. They're going to scrap lockdowns. They're going to scrap PCR tests because they know they don't work. Stunning UK reversal. You could say that's good news, but I don't know if they're really backing off because they know the truth or if they're planning something more sinister. Keep an eye on the ball is what I would say. Natural immunity, ladies and gentlemen, longer lasting than protection from COVID-19 vaccines. Yeah, Dr. Robert Malone, that's the guy that basically developed the technology that is used in the current mRNA tests. I'm going to give you his name again, Dr. Robert Malone. He basically says that's true. Natural immunity is longer lasting than protection from COVID-19 vaccines. So where's Joe when it comes to natural immunity? And if they say we've already got 66% of the nation vaccinated, or at least one vaccination, then what about all the natural immunity people added to that? What kind of level of immunity should we have at this point? But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is the spread of the coronavirus or the spread of COVID-19 or Delta variant or whatever you want to say, they claim it's worse now than when we started. Well, if that's true, maybe the things that we're doing are not working. Is that a, you know, reasonable conclusion? After almost 2 years, we're social distancing, we're masking, we're vaccinating. And now it's worse than it was when we started, at least when it comes to the spread. Oh, that's because of the Delta variant, they say. No, my response is when you're doing something and you're getting results you don't want, maybe you ought to do something different. How dumb am I? All right. Anyway, that was the first hour of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday. Anyway, great detailed articulation available at libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. And the second hour, obviously, is not recorded at Liberty Roundtable, but it is recorded at brighteon.tv. That's B-R-I-G-H-T-E-O-N, brighteon.tv. You click on the live link when you want to watch us live every Tuesday, 10 o'clock Eastern, the second hour of Liberty Roundtable Live, the Sheriff Mack Show, and it's me and Sheriff Mack breaking things down. We've been working on a simulcast of that broadcast, and we got it done. It was a little bit, I don't know what you say, not perfect transitionally speaking, but we're working on it. And the simulcast did happen yesterday. So you got a simulcast with Brighty on TV and Liberty Roundtable Live going on every Tuesday, second hour, because Sam and Mac are on TV. And we had an incredible guest this time. It was Sheriff Chris Brown. And Chris Brown is from Claiborne County, Arkansas. And man, Chris was a rock star. Sheriff Brown has recently released an official sheriff's letter stating he will not comply with Biden's vaccine mandates, just simply will not do it. He said, that is not in my oath of office. That is not protecting my citizens. I am not for vaccines or against vaccines. I'm just telling you, we're not mandating anything. Anyway, archives of the Bridey on Liberty Roundtable Live. Sheriff Mac show can be found on Brideyon.tv. Now, over time, we'll get the second hour back recording on Tuesdays as well. Every other day, we record both hours, right? Monday through Saturday. But on Tuesday, we don't record the second hour. Why, you say? Because transitionally, it's hard. They don't have the same clock as we do. Anyway, there's a big delay when it comes to TV. It's very hard to get right. We can try to archive the whole thing. We're working on it. So we'll keep you posted. We're working on an audio-only stream because the big, you know, video streams have dropouts and some glitches from time to time. It's just hard to get a solid recording. Anyway, we'll do our very best, see what we can do. There's a lot of ways we can go about this, and we're working on it. So we'll keep an eye on that ball just for you, but understand we're, what do you want to call it? Launching into TV to some degree. By the way, he hasn't been with us in a while, but he's back now. James Edwards, talk show host in his own right. Race, politics, and hypocrisy in the 21st century. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is his website for the radio show every Saturday night. And he's also written a book, Racism, Schmacism, which sorely needs to be updated. We need 2.0 of that, dude. And there you have it. We could put the white guy, Joe Biden, right on the cover. There. Anyway, I digress. James, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Great to be with you, Sam. Always enjoy hearing the recaps. Yes, we can't escape the COVID issue. It seems the more we know, the more there is to learn. And figuring out the truth in this sea of lies and deceit is always certainly a chore. Very interesting to hear as you continue to evolve and expand the breadth of the realm here and what you're doing there in the second hour. Very interesting, very exciting. Obviously, it's a very exciting week all the way around. It's great to be with you for my monthly stop.
So much to talk about, so little time. Let's just jump right in here. Newsom survives California recall vote and remains governor. Man, those poor people in California just take a beating, don't they? But it's self-inflicted, I might add. Uh-oh, we'll try to get James back.
Oh, no, I'm back. I'm back. No, I got you, Sam. Yeah, no, so sorry. James. Well, you know, I read about that with Larry Elder this morning. Larry Elder is a guy that I would have voted for out of the field out there. But the, of course,
wait a minute, we all know he's black.
Well, yeah, well, you know, I that's what they say. That's what he looks. He appears to be. But, you know, you go back to my campaign with Pat Buchanan back when I started cutting my teeth in politics and Izola Foster, and we had a fundraiser for her on behalf of the campaign at the House. And, you know, she was from California as well. Now, that's very interesting. These very good, solid constitutionalist black Americans coming out of California. Jesse Lee Peterson. I guess, you know, that is an anomaly that deserves some research. Obviously, we know that blacks across the country overwhelmingly, 95% plus overwhelmingly, vote for the Democrats. And the three of the most rock solid people I'd go to war with at any time, any day, from that community all came from California. Jesse Lee Peterson, Izola Foster, and Larry Elder. But the whole thing was, I mean, we all know exceptions don't disprove a rule necessarily. The demographic problem out there in California has made it completely unwinnable for anybody with any common sense or reason or logic or whatever you want to call it. So I guess the gambit would have been if Newsom had been recalled, that then the leader of the pack of the 40 or 50 or 60 candidates running, however many it was quite long, would have become the governor. If I understand correctly. And of that pack, Larry Elder did win, and he won handily. And I guess the consolation prize is that it is now Larry Elder's California GOP. The California GOP is his party, or it's made in his image, because he did rise indisputably to the head of the pack of the opposition. But Gavin Newsom survived the recall in a romp, 65-35. So there was just never any chance. And obviously, you're not going to beat as a Republican of any stripe. You're not going to beat the Democrat in a head-to-head race, where Democrats outnumber Republicans 2-1 in California. The only way it would have happened is if Newsom had been recalled, and then it would have gone to the leader of the pack, which Elder was. It was a weird situation. Recalls always are. But I just,
Mojo for the recall, but not enough mojo for the mass populace is what usually happens. I'm not saying there's not exceptions, but in general, that's the way it kind of works. Now, Joe Biden rolled out to California to really help Newsom. And I find this fascinating. I just don't understand how these liberals think. And I want to articulate this and kind of get your take on this, James. So for the last, I don't know, since Trump rolled down the escalator, what, 2015? They've been saying Trump is a racist. He hates blacks. He's a white supremacist. He's dog whistling all the Nazis and all the KKK leaders and everybody on down. Signals, and it goes on and on. That's what their narrative was, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, now, Biden rolls to California. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, but just recently, right before this recall kind of went out. And Biden mocks Larry Elder as a Donald Trump clone. Yeah, Biden mocks Larry Elder as a Donald Trump clone. Says Trump, Republicans trying to stop us from beating this pandemic. So let me get this straight. I'm kind of stupid. Donald's a racist. Larry's black, and now they're like twins. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Live on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and Sam Bushman. So let me get this straight. Larry Elder's black. Donald Trump's been a racist ever since he rolled down the escalator. Now, he wasn't a racist when he was all the friends and hobnobbing with the rich and famous and elite and celebrities and everything else for years and years and years. But the second he rolled down the escalator and decided he was into conservative politics, well, bazam, racist all the way, KKK leader, virtually speaking. And it all rolled downhill from there, from his dog whistling and virtual signaling and everything else. And now Larry rolls out, black dude from California, very conservative. And now Joe Biden literally says, hey, Joe Biden mocks Larry Elder. I mean, he's a Trump clone. How does all that work for a couple of racists over there, James? I'm not understanding.
Well, I'll tell you, it works exactly how it was intended to work. It works like a charm. I wrote the book. I caught on to this very early on in my career in radio, going back to 2004 now. Not quite as long, though, as you, Sam, although that wasn't exactly yesterday. But when they started covering our show, all of these same names, racist, white supremacist, Nazi, Klan, bigot, whatever. I'm like, what? Because I'm not ashamed of who my ancestors are, because I think there was greatness in men like Christopher Columbus and courage and bravery and valor and virtue and people like Robert E. Lee. I'm all of these things you say, these reprehensible adjectives that you use, that doesn't make sense to me. I know who I am, and I know what I am and what I'm not, certainly much better than you, someone who's never spoken to me or met me or had any conversation or correspondence with me in any way. You're writing all these things. You know my heart? I don't think so. So I wrote the book, literally the book, Racism Schmacism, which you are very kind to often cite, and it's definitely still timely. I mean, since 2010, there's been no shortage of new material, but what is in there from the year I wrote it is evergreen, and it is exactly... Well, the complete title is Racism, Schmacism, How Liberals Use the R Word. And basically, the book is the key to unlock this socio-political nuclear bomb. And to answer your question, just to cut straight to the point, it's working exactly as it was intended to. The media, the system, if you will, they hurl these baseless accusations at conservatives, and in some rare instances, even black conservatives, because it's almost their silver bullet. It works to such great effect that it's just a point and sputter, copy and paste attack every time. Basically, the gist is you call someone a racist, you call a conservative a racist, even if he's a black, and they'll spin their wheels to such an extent that they never get anything done. And conservatives always take the bait. I mean, white conservatives, 99.9% of the time, they always take the bait, and they end up, the debate becomes not about the issues or what's right for the country or right for the district or right for the voters. The debate becomes from that point forward all the way until the end, are you or are you not a racist? And they'll argue that, and they'll debate that, and nothing else gets done. Conservatives spin their wheels in perpetuity until they go down into defeat. And, you know, so we write in the book about how you can get past that, how you can beat the game. But that's what's happening. That's why they do it. And
so either Donald Trump is not a racist now because he's a twin with a black guy, or the black guy's a racist now because he's a twin with Donald. So I think that Larry just needs to either change his name to Tom or admit he's a racist if we're going to follow this dishonest logic, right?
Well, you know, one of the things you know, as I do, Jared Taylor, my good friend and certainly an acquaintance of yours, great guy, gentleman, all the way. And one of the knocks that there was on Elder was that Elder had once, I think one time many years ago, perhaps even decades ago now, had favorably quoted something from Jared Taylor. So this is the thing. You just cannot have.
Wait a minute. Why can't you favorably quote Jared Taylor? What if he's right?
Well,
can
that's
you quote
the one.
When they're right, no matter who they are, is what I would ask.
And if people don't know, Jared Taylor is an author and a publisher, and he talks about certainly controversial and taboo issues, but he's a graduate of Yale University. He's a graduate of Yale University. He is what would have been an American aristocrat if we had set up that sort of a system. Just a great guy, gentleman down to his very core, longtime friend of the family. But, yes, so of course you cannot have an adult conversation, and that again is what this comes down to. You cannot have an adult conversation with any nuance on any sort of real issues. It's just this basic gutter trash politics. Name-calling and accusations, throw the kitchen sink at somebody, gum them up, and then they go down. But now,
ladies and gentlemen, I have written an article called A Clarion Call for Civility, and I'm working on more relating to this topic, including a speaking tour and a whole lot more. And I'm telling you right now, I'll quote Jared Taylor when he's right. I'll quote anybody when they're right. I'll quote, the truth. And that's what we really need to kind of get to. So in my mind, Donald Trump is right on a lot of issues. And when he's right, I support him. Larry Elder is right on a bunch of issues. And when he's right, I support him. And I don't give a rip if somebody is black or white. Yes, I'm white and I care for my heritage and my people. I have every right to do that. And I'm going to advocate for my ancestors and celebrate my heritage. And I recommend everybody else do the same. But I have no problem with Larry being black. He's right on the issues, and I commend him for it. And Donald Trump, twin or not, so be it. But this just proves their racial narrative to be bogus. Any black that doesn't agree with the liberal, extreme, communist, socialist views, in other words, any black that's not on the, quote, reservation of accepting liberal concepts, they are allowed to be treated racially. In other words, you can have racism against the blacks that are wrong on the issues. That's okay. And believe it or not, the liberals are even making this point now, James.
Yeah, that's right, Sam. You're right. But again, for the situation in California, typically the tactics that I just mentioned, it will help if the conservative plays along, which they almost always do. It will help them lose a tight contest. In California, again, Larry Elder just didn't really have a chance to begin with because of the demographics, because of the voting rolls out there. 2-1. 2-1's a tough one to be. If for some reason people fell asleep and they didn't realize that Larry Elder was going to be the front runner if the recall had worked, that's the only way you're ever going to sneak in California. And just such a rare and unusual off-year election, off-month election, September, you know, that's weird. That was the only way it was going to happen. But again, whatever quarrels they have with Newsom, they were always going to close ranks. And by they, I mean the COVID freaks, the sexual degenerates, just the support groups of the regime. They were always going to close ranks around a guy like Newsom.
The deep state elites all the way through the system, and even the deep state wannabes that carry the ball in hopes that they'll somehow become part of the deep state elite. Most of them never will, but I digress. Anyway, I just found that interesting that at the end of the day, Joe Biden resorts to that Donald and Larry are twins. They're just clones.
Well, they actually said, you know, comical. Well, and Gavin Newsom himself said that Larry Elder was to the right of Donald Trump. Now, of course, that's just campaign rhetoric, but nevertheless, this was the way they were presenting him. That's right.
All right. Speaking of Joe Biden, man, this guy's been all over the place. He can hardly talk. He can hardly think for himself. But they managed to literally prop this guy up by the jukebox wherever he needs to be. So he was in Idaho, and he was talking about climate change, and he was at like this fire discussion on fires in the West and all this kind of stuff. And White House cuts feed when Biden goes off script. I guess Joe Biden tried to ask a question in Idaho. He's like, hey, can I ask a question? And all of a sudden, sure, of course you can't. And the feed went off. And the next headline asks, who keeps cutting off Joe Biden's microphone? Senator James Reich, Republican of Idaho, demands answer. Who is that person that keeps cutting off Joe Biden's microphone? What's his name here? Man, my gosh. Anyways, with WorldNet Daily, that's Bob Unruh. Sorry.
Yeah, Bob Unruh. Yeah,
is the author.
I was coming to the rescue.
But they say that he always has weird comments. So he says, hey, I'm not allowed to stay on stage. I'm not allowed to take your questions. I'm going to get in trouble if I take questions. He cites his instructions to get off stage. And now they're literally cutting the feed. The White House is cutting the feed to Joe mid-sentence and serious news ops. And this senator now is saying, you know what? Who's doing this? We got a problem. And so I find this interesting for a guy that says Donald's a racist, and now he says the black guy and the white guy are clones. Very interesting. What do you think of this, though? They're cutting off his mic, and now people are starting to ask serious questions, James.
Well, that's no surprise at all. They have kept him on such a tight leash, barely letting him leave his basement, even going back to the campaign. It's always very strange. I mean, that's a clear admission that he's just not right. There was I was watching. I'll tell you when we come back. I hear the music. I got a nice rejoinder to this one about the mental state of Joe Biden and another example to prove your point.
Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, ladies and gentlemen. Donate liberty, donate liberally. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, tell the tale. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. James Edwards in seconds.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Democrat Gavin Newsom avoided a recall vote in California, winning roughly two-thirds of the vote. His closest competitor, Republican Larry Elder, has given his concession speech. There were nearly 1 million votes that went to other candidates.
The reason we started this campaign is because Governor Gavin Newsom was sitting up there at the French Laundry restaurant with lobbyists who contributed to his campaign, with the people who drafted the mandates that they were violating.
The South Carolina Law Enforcement Division is reporting South Carolina police have arrested a man who allegedly conspired with Alex Murdaugh. He's the high-profile attorney whose wife and son were murdered in a double shooting back in June. Police allege the plot was to shoot the father and get millions in life insurance payouts to his living son. 61-year-old Curtis Edward Smith faces charges of assisted suicide and conspiracy to commit insurance fraud in connection with the case. USA Radio News.
Nielsen says more than 30 million Americans are now tuning in to Newsmax TV. It's one of the biggest media stories. Newsmax is available on all major cable systems. And if you cut the cord and don't get cable, you can still get Newsmax. Find it on your smart TVs like Samsung, LG, and more. Just go to your smart TV channel guide or download the free Newsmax app. Newsmax also streams free on Roku, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, or TiVo. And 7 million people have the Newsmax app on their smartphone. It takes seconds to download it on your phone, and there's no paywall or subscription. So watch Newsmax for breaking news anytime, anywhere. President Trump says Newsmax is really good, and Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. Find out why tens of millions of Americans are watching Newsmax TV and going to Newsmax.com for breaking news. It's a source you can trust. Newsmax is real news for real people.
Day two, Blinken answers Senate questions.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken spent a second day on Capitol Hill Tuesday testifying before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. Senator Bill Hagerty was one of the members who questioned the secretary. The Tennessee Republican says one thing he wanted to hear but didn't was accountability for the withdrawal and its failures.
And we put America's reputation in the worst position that it's been in my lifetime. If you think about it, the perspective of the veterans that have served, from our allies who have served alongside us, and this is something that is extraordinarily difficult to even comprehend. The fact that we would have put the Taliban in a stronger position than they were 20 years ago when we went in, the fact that we'd have left them armed and made certainly the region much more dangerous now, if not the entire world, that's something that's very hard to square. And what we're seeing is a lot of equivocation, spinning. You know, people are trying to simply deflect. The Biden administration is not taking responsibility for this. I was very direct with Secretary Blinken today. Accountability is critical here. I appreciated the way he answered, but we've got to get to the bottom of this.
USA Radio News.
Welcome back, everybody, to Liberal Liberal Roundtable. No, that's everybody else's show. This is the Liberty Roundtable, and we want you to give liberally to liberty. I think that's the way. That actually should be a new catchphrase for Sam Bushman's show. I'm James Edwards, just bringing us back out of break this one time, and Sam and I were talking about Joe Biden and his perceived mental state. Well, perhaps not perceived, but perhaps the reality of his mental state, and him not taking questions, him joking around about how they won't let him take questions, feeds getting cut when he does actually slip through and shoot the gap and begin to answer a question. Well, I actually saw, this was the point I was going to make before the music started a couple of minutes ago, I actually saw a little impromptu where he's walking around. It was a 9/11 memorial event, and this was on C-SPAN, so obviously it wasn't very widely seen, but I'm looking at the clip right now on Twitter. And he was milling around at a 9/11 memorial event, and a C-SPAN reporter came up with the camera and asked him a question. And he ranted for about 60 seconds before he got the hook, just ranted incoherently about boxing Donald Trump, about Florida, about Robert E. Lee. He was really just all over the place, and it was just another one of those days in which he faded in and out and was lost in senility. But even on his worst day, Sam, I would say now that he's not as bad as George W. Bush, though. I mean, here you had, or perhaps they are no different than one another on 9/11.
They're clones, my friend. They're clones.
they, ideologically speaking, or at the very least, they're just doing exactly what they're told to do. I have a joke that's not really a joke. I mean, these people are only the president. It's not like they're actually the ones in control. But George Bush on that same day, 9/11, the 20th anniversary of 9/11, as we know, was last Saturday. George Bush was up in Pennsylvania, and he gave a speech that I think would put him to be the front runner for the Democratic nomination for president in 2028. A speech talking about we're fighting the same terrorist tendencies now as we were in 2001, except now the terrorists are your neighbors. I'm paraphrasing, but he's talking about this completely made up domestic terror threat that comes from what Hillary would have called the deplorables, basically God-fearing, liberty-loving people who voted for Donald Trump. And here's George Bush, the Republican president. You know, it was like if you could have whispered in his ear. We all remember that picture picture of him reading the book in the children's class when he purportedly heard about 9/11 for the first time. You know, it'd be like the guy's whispering in his ear, in 20 years you're going to blame your own voters for all of this. And that's what's going on. So this whole thing is just so wickedly corrupt. And you want to talk about corruption, I don't want to chase too many rabbits, Sam, but how about this General Milley, who just flat out admitted, hey, yeah, I committed treason.
Oh my gosh, hold on, you got my exact next headline here.
Okay, this is unbelievable.
Because this is so uncanny. I literally have the following headline. Top military general Mark Milley, fearful Trump would launch nuclear attack, according to new book. I mean, these people are unhinged. They say the nation's highest ranking military advisor was concerned about Trump's trigger points after the January 6th insurrection. In the aftermath of the January 6th attack on the Capitol, they say. Anyway, Joint Chiefs of Staff General Mark Milley. By the way, he was Donald Trump's former top military advisor, which is very scary. I think Donald had a lot of deep state thugs in his cabinets, etc. But listen to this, though. They say that he literally took precautions to limit Trump's ability to launch a military strike or deploy nuclear weapons. That's according to a new book. So you think about this general, and we wondered who controls Biden. And now you find out that a general, a top general in the United States, literally admits that he took actions to circumvent the president of the United States' ability to take care of business for the United States of America. In my view, this is criminal activity blatantly documented in this book. The question is, how true is it all? Would literally need to get people under oath for this. But this is out of control, James.
Well, if that's true, it's nothing short of treason. And you look at this ridiculous narrative about the January 6th protesters who, you know, certainly were milling around, perhaps uninvited, and or perhaps in some cases absolutely invited, but nevertheless, they were inside the Capitol, and apparently that's like an insurrection, that's sedition, that's all of these things. Well, if milling around completely unarmed, grandmas in their fanny packs, if that's like, the greatest threat to Washington since the Confederates were knocking on the door, what is this? Here you have this general who is the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
By the way, hold on. This general whose boss is Donald Trump the president of the United States of America, sir?
Well, that's right. And here he is supposedly or apparently or at least allegedly admitting that. And OK, his whole premise is fanciful. So after January 6th, he really thought Donald Trump was going to launch a war against China just to try to come up with some sort of scheme to stay in office. I mean, that's ridiculous, flat on its face. But and he's talking to his counterpart, which would be the top-ranking general in China, saying, hey, if Trump does anything, I'm going to call you first. I'm going to let you know. Hey, if that happened, that is flat-out, hardcore treason. That's firing squad stuff. If you are undermining...
Well, and or if he took actions to limit the president's ability to take action if it were necessary. So let's say there was a real threat, and the president really needed to take action for whatever reason. Might it be stymied by this limiting of the president for the other political agenda? Now, the story goes on in the book claiming that, you know, they were worried about Donald Trump's mental faculties and stability and safety, and they were worried about his triggers. They said he kept coming up with all these conspiracy stuff about the elections and da-da-da-da. But might this general be mentally paranoid? All right, well, general. Okay, let's put this on the other foot for a second. This guy literally thought Donald, who has had no history of serious violence in his past, he was the president for 4 years and didn't do anything crazy for a war. In fact, he averted several wars, I might clearly articulate. He was the guy that said, let's get people out of different war zones, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is the guy that's the great negotiator, the great, you know, art of the deal kind of a guy. And now we're going to just have this unhinged, psychotic view that he's going to just run us into a war and just crazily in the middle of the night launch a nuclear strike and everything else. I think this general might have some mental paranoia.
Well, even if he really believed it, whether he really believed it to be a threat or not, it's still treason. I mean, you just don't get to undermine the president of the United States, the chief executive officer. The military is underneath civilian control, and the civilian is the president. That's the way it was always set up. So whether or not he actually believed it, or if he was just undermining Trump just because he was a member of the deep state, it's irrelevant to me. You just don't go. I mean, can you imagine? Here's the top-ranking general under Trump. I guess it's a little bit different because we didn't have a president at that time, but just imagine the American Revolution. The top lieutenant, and I know we had Benedict Arnold, but underneath George Washington saying, hey, your redcoats, I'm going to let you know where he's going to attack, and, you know, we don't want to let this get out of hand, and if he's going to attack, we're going to let you know. It's something like that, or it's absolutely – I've never seen anything like this.
It's unhinged, blatant admission of some of this stuff.
If they're going to arrest – people and hold them without trial and solitary confinement for what happened on January 6th. You don't arrest. Look, whether it's true or not, I mean, we got to get to the bottom of this. This guy's got to be arrested and put away. He's still got his job as far as I know.
We got to ask ourselves. Mark Milley went around Trump in final days. They say this is Washington Times now. So first I was quoting USA Today. Now it's Washington Times. This guy literally went around Donald Trump. Now, that to me is, you went around your boss. Okay, this is criminal activity. I think you're right, James. This is treasonous stuff. Is there going to be any accountability? Or are we just going to go, oh, that's neat. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I don't think anything's going to. I think if anything, this guy will use this, or it will be used to show, hey, we've got patriots who are standing up to the tyrant, Donald Trump. I think if anything, it'll probably be a boon for this guy because he's on the side of the elite. He's on the side of the regime. I don't think it's going to hurt him at all. I'd like to be proven wrong on this, but I mean, if he should have been arrested at the mere accusation, or at least there should be headlines saying he's under investigation, that he's been paid a knock on the door, something, but nothing. That I've seen nothing. I mean, conservative media, which is completely impotent or up in arms about it, but OAN and Newsmag isn't going to get the job done when it comes to seeing justice be done in this situation. And again, we don't know how much of it is true or not true. I mean, anybody can say anything, God knows, in the media.
It's getting more and more true as we speak, because the headline says this: General Mark Milley went around,
I believe it,
Trump during the final days to reassert China, Bob Woodward book now claims.
Well, see, here's Bob Woodward again, whose whole thing is just undermining presidents. And, I mean, he's all for corruption and exposing things.
True,
I mean, give me a break.
Let's double down. Let's subpoena people. Let's get them under oath, penalty of perjury and more. And let's get the truth. This can't just stand out there as an allegation. I mean, after all, we don't want fake news, do we? Liberty Roundtable live.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing Foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various Foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We're calling it treason on Liberty Roundtable Live. General Milley literally said, hey, I'll get a hold of the Chinese president. Let him know your playbook. Treason. Milley secretly called Chinese general to tell him that it'd give advance warning of the U.S. quote attack book. Michael Austin with the story. This is serious business. This is literal criminal activity because he was paranoid about Trump. Now, the reason I bring up this paranoia about the general, look, they thought Trump was the enemy of the world. In fact, they said, look, if Trump becomes president, we're going to leave the country. If Trump makes these vaccines, we'll never take them. Wow, must have come from a meat market. Oh, well, we knew that it came from a lab, but that's what Trump was saying, and we're not going to say that if Trump says that because, well, I mean, you can't support Trump in anything. Okay, we've gone beyond now to treason. James Edwards.
Apparently so. That's certainly what it looks like if there's a shred of truth to any of these accusations. And, you know, Sam, odds on that this is exactly what happened. I mean, this is the sort of undermining. Trump shot himself in the foot by appointing these people. Although you go from being a real estate magnate and entertainer and television host to the president of the United States, you've got all of these positions to fill. I mean, what do you do? I mean, I would certainly want to insulate myself with the people that I know, but I don't know anybody who's capable of being the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I don't know anybody. I mean, what do? Do you put Eddie the Bombardier Miller in as Joint Chiefs because he was a medic in the Army? I mean, that's about as close as I know to anybody who served or something like that. I don't know, but he was Trump definitely appointed or maintained the worst people, the worst swamp creatures, all the people he was supposedly going to be draining out. He retained so many of the recycled retreads of the Bush administrations and just the horrible, horrible neocons like John Bolton. I mean, it was always a revolving door. He had more turnover than Burger King at just about any position in his administration. But it was a majority. I mean, Kayleigh McEnany, the last press secretary he had, was solid. I mean, she had his back. There were a few people who were loyal to the plan and to the man, and of course Trump was flawed in his own right, but I do think he had some good instincts, or at least he pretended to. I mean, his rhetoric was certainly rhetoric you wouldn't have gotten from any other Republican, but by God, did he not surround himself with people who would betray, do everything they could to undermine him from within his own administration. And if this is true, this is the not only just the most extreme example I've seen from anybody who was working against Trump, even while being employed by him, this is actually treason against the United States.
He basically said during a phone call, hey, General Lee, he's talking to the Liberation Army leader here. You know what? If we are going to attack, I'll call you in advance. It will not be a surprise. I mean, now, if this is true, and I'm not here to say that it is true because I don't know. This is what the book is alleging. But the book is out, and I don't really hear any denials of this by anybody, really. Okay? I just find this interesting, too. I don't hear a lot of pushback that it isn't true. Bob Woodward and Robert, is it Costa wrote this book together?
Yep.
Robert Costa and Bob Woodward on this thing. Okay, either Bob Woodward and Costa need to go to prison for lying if they don't have the facts and the evidence to back up their salacious claims, or this is true and General Milley needs to go to prison for treason or worse.
You don't have to squint too tightly.
I hate to say the worst because I don't advocate really for that. But look, this is where we are. And the question is Millie the only one that was in on it? You got to ask that question too, James.
Well, I doubt it. And like I said, you don't have to squint too hard to imagine a scenario where this is true. And again, we can do a little search here this morning. I mean, this has just come out over the course of the last 24, 36 hours. So we can do another search this morning to see if Millie has gone on record yet. But if he hasn't, I'm betting that it's because he's probably getting pat on the back. He's probably getting pat on the back by the deep state, never Trumpers, anti-Trumpers, which, again, you focus so much on the man. But let's just talk about the people who voted for Trump. That's what these people are really against, even more than the man that represented, or at least supposedly represented, our people. They hate middle America. They hate the kind of people who voted for Trump and everything that they stand for, being Christians, being nuclear families, so on and so forth. So I'm betting by undermining Trump, which was by extension undermining his base, that this guy's getting pat on the back right now. I mean, this is probably going to be great for him at the cocktail parties up in D.C.
I don't know how to respond to this.
I mean, you've got, look, if this isn't true, you've got to deny this immediately. You've got to say, listen, I had my disagreements with Trump. We had different visions, but I would never undermine the president of the United States by going to the opposing army and saying, hey, if he does anything, I'll let you know before anybody else. I've never heard that before.
I'm looking for denials here by Millie, and I don't really see any, James.
That speaks loudly. Silence speaks loudly. The silence is deafening here, as is often said.
I don't know if it's true, but I would have to say it's probably true, and I'll tell you why. I don't think these two authors would come out with such a bold claim that could be proven false.
And you got to understand,
if there was
these
a phone
aren't
call. Can we document the phone call?
Costa and Woodward. These are, again, we don't give credence and credibility to the establishment press, but as far as the regime media goes, these are two of the top dogs. This isn't some obscure, for lack of a better term, right-wing blogger. I mean, these are two of the, by as far as they laud themselves and as far as credentials go within the controlled media, these guys are the tip of the spear. I mean, this is how big they are. So these aren't people who I think would flippantly come up with something like this. Yes, they're going to have a left-wing narrative. Yes, they're going to oppose us. Yes, they're going to lie about certain things. But about something like this, so exact and so specific, I doubt it. Or at least they believe that they're right, and at least they have sources to back them up. I mean, again.
Well, and there you go. And the only reason I'm giving a little bit of benefit of the doubt here is because we haven't heard the other side of the story, and there hasn't been a court case proving this to be reality. But here's another interesting headline that I want to kind of bring out to you about this, James. This is interesting again. So Mark Milley has been known to say, I don't understand white anger, hatred, and rage. So now Mark Milley calling the president literally a white supremacist. Listen carefully to this. Joint Chief Chairman, so we're talking about Mark Milley now, feared potential Reichstag moment aimed at keeping Trump in power. Yeah. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I read that, Sam. That's a good point you bring up. So that's, again, circumstantial and maybe anecdotal evidence. But so you see just within, I think, hours, it must have been hours, if not at most days before, because we know that the reason he allegedly did this was because he was concerned about Trump's response to what happened on January the 6th. And, yes, he had already gone on record as calling Trump supporters Nazis, and this was the new what, Night of the Long Knives or Reichstag fire, these people that didn't even, you know, and for most of them, they were like walking in line like they were going on a museum tour. They didn't even get out of the queue. I mean, we've seen footage of this. We've seen the stuff. It's interesting how everybody can see the same footage and come to wildly different conclusions on what they saw. But yeah, so we know that he had a problem with Trump and Trump's voters, comparing them to Nazis and thugs and whatever. And it was because of Trump's response to January 6th, or lack thereof, in his opinion, Milley's opinion, that he made this call. So that actually, what you just read actually adds a little more credibility.
Now, here's the other interesting thing, too. They say he talked to aides about this, meaning Mark talked to aides about his concern. Carol Leonig and Philip Rutger report, "In I Alone Can Fix It." I guess that's another book, Donald Trump's catastrophic final year. Milley described the stomach-turning feeling as he listened to Donald Trump's, quote, untrue complaints of election fraud, then drawing a comparison to the 1933 attack on Germany's parliament building that Hitler used as a pretext to establish a Nazi dictatorship. So you've literally got multiple books now, multiple witnesses, aides speaking out. This is a, quote, Reichstag moment, Milley told aides, according to the book. This is just unhinged as all get out. There's no evidence of any of that going on. And all they're doing now is adding fuel to this fire of treason on January 6th. Well, I don't know if you know, but we've proven now that the Capitol Police have 14,000 hours of video that they're unwilling to release. Many experts are saying that would tell the truth on what happened on January the 6th. Judicial Watch pushing to gain access to the 14,000 hours of video that the government will not release. So this is getting bigger and more, I don't know what you want to say, but treasonous by the second, James.
A lot of smoke on this one, and you know what they say about that, but again, what you had on January 6th clearly was a protest that got a little out of hand, and that's it. The most egregious thing that happened on the 6th was the murder of that former, what was she, Army, Ashley Babbitt, who was murdered there by the Capitol officer. I mean, but yes, yeah, so this is, again, people preparing for Trump's exit who are positioning themselves well to maintain their positions in the incoming Biden regime. And that's what was going on. But the point I have to stress again very clearly is, and I sincerely doubt he did this with any goodness or good intentions in his heart, but no matter the case, whether you sincerely believed you were doing the right thing or you did it with malevolent intent, you still can't undermine the president of the United States. That's still treason. Even if your defense is, "I thought I was doing the right thing," that's still treason. It doesn't matter. Anybody could say, "Well, blew up the building because I thought I was doing the right thing." Yeah, you know, let that defense hold up.
And by the way, the checks and balances in America would have prohibited a lot of this if we'd follow the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. Congress has given their power to the president now to where he can do whatever he wants war-wise without any authorization, without even waiting for any budget, or without a declaration of war and all these things. And because we've obliterated the checks and balances, that's what brings up the fear of the general that anybody could do this.
That's a good
point. I have
fear
right now that Biden might do this. He might just get in a psychotic moment, a senior moment, and do something crazy. Anyway, I mean, after all, he's wearing thin with guys like me already. And he hasn't even been in office for a year yet. If we're going to talk
can you imagine Biden?
Okay, so think about that for a minute, though. Now, if we're going to go there, I would point to the checks and balances and say, let's back off and obey the checks and balances. And a lot of these threats or so-called concerns or paranoia moments or senior moments or anger moments or Reichstag moments or whatever you want to say wouldn't even be in the discussions, James.
It's a good point, Sam. We'll see where it goes. I'd be very interesting to see if Milley even so much as releases a statement on this, much less any sort of, you know, they could at least go through the appearance of an investigation, even though if it's all just a foregone conclusion that nothing's going to happen to the guy. I wonder if they'll even waste the effort.
Why would you do that? You're not vaccinated. Nobody should listen to you. By the way, that's next hour discussion. Joe's getting more crazy by the second. We'll talk about that on your radio. Hour one in the can. Hour two coming up. James Edwards, well-known talk show host and author, incredible weekend broadcast live on Saturday evenings or anytime on demand, thepoliticalcesspool.org. I'm Sam Bushman. We declare God save the Republic of the United States of America.